Hi, welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. This is Ange coming to you with episode 281 with the super talented director of Won't You Be My Neighbor, Morgan Neville. This is a documentary about Mr. Rogers. Who doesn't want to know more about Mr. Rogers? We all miss him. We all love him. He helped us through many turbulent times as children, and he helped start a movement where we really need to care more about kids' emotions, and I think that doesn't happen enough today either. So I hope you enjoy our interview with him. It was really a pleasure to sit down and hear what he learned about going back into Mr. Rogers' life and who the person he was. So enjoy.
So you made a little movie called Won't You Be My Neighbor about Fred Rogers. I'm going to start off a little serious because it was, we saw it, I think, the week after the March for Our Lives movement and rally. So at least the one in San Francisco, they talked about toxic masculinity and how we need to change that idea. And then we saw Mr. Rogers in Won't You Be My Neighbor. He was the polar opposite of toxic masculinity. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And was this your plan for that topic to be discussed?
I mean, I think my plan was for radical kindness to be discussed. I mean, I think when I really tried to digest what Fred Rogers' message was, it was radical kindness. And kindness doesn't get a lot of time in our media. It's not very sexy. Mm. It doesn't sell a lot of tickets. It's a lot easier to govern people or make money off of people through hatred and fear and bigotry than it is through kindness. It doesn't mean that kindness isn't hugely important. And I feel like the political market forces we have don't push us towards that. So I wanted to make a film to at least kind of discuss the value of civility, essentially. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Rogers is talking about won't you be my neighbor, he's saying, what kind of a society do we want to build? And to be a good neighbor is to be a good citizen. So he's trying to really model these ideas to kids, basically trying to teach people how to be good humans, teach kids basic humanist values of how we should treat each other and what kind of community we should have together. That, to me, was the thing that made me want to make the film in the first place. You know, in terms of his image and his masculinity, I mean, that's part of it for sure. And I think something that's so interesting about him is that he is this very different form of adult male figure in our culture. You know, he's somebody who, you know, was endlessly made fun of and ridiculed, and people said that he was gay. They said that he was a wimp. They said that he was, you know, not to be taken seriously. And I think the film, in a way, is trying to answer that and say, this guy was the most willful, the most purposeful, you know, the most thoughtful. He's the dad you really want to have. He's and essentially that's what he was for many, many, many kids. I mean, I think what he saw was that there was going to be a generation of children who were going to be raised by this new medium, television, who were just essentially going to grow up in front of a television, who needed a parental figure, and he was going to try and provide that, not to be the substitute parent, but to be a parental figure, an adult figure that could help raise people and present a certain type of point of view on how we should all behave.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of radical thing he was doing. It's not, you know, doing the TV show was like the collateral damage. Like, he didn't want to be famous. He didn't want to do a TV show. He just wanted to get the message out, and TV was the medium. But I think if he could have done it all and not been famous, he would have done it in a nanosecond.
Can I ask about, spoiler alert to our audience, but the conversation around him, maybe he was gay or not, because I remember growing up and watching him, because he wasn't the masculine figure you saw everywhere else, it kind of was like, maybe something's a little different about him. But was it weird going into that space and talking about that portion of his life, or it just felt very natural because everyone kind of wondered?
I think I think we had to talk about it.
Okay.
Because everybody wondered about
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you went there because I was like, oh, good. Mm-hmm. I feel okay that I
you had to might for have it had to that be a rounded look.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make a film and people say, well, they didn't, you know, they didn't want to talk about it because obviously he was gay. And I said, well, if he is or isn't, or right. let's, you know, we have to discuss it, you know. And I think, and I brought it up with many people, including his wife, who's like, you know, said a lot of people thought he was gay. And it's like, well, he wasn't, you
right.
know, but he, you know, his circle of his best friends, it's interesting because it seemed like half, you know, many of them, he was friends with many, you know, Johnny Costa, his longtime piano player, like musicians, preachers, and gay friends mm-hmm. were like his circles of people he spent the most time with. You
he's
know.
Really evolved.
Basically.
He's an evolved human being.
And, you know, there were a lot of, you know, gay people who worked on the show mm-hmm. who were very close with him. And you know, I think he was super comfortable with that and enjoyed that. And, you know, I'm just thinking of all the stories I heard. But it's not, but in a way, I think part of what we end up talking about in the film is like what people want to do in our culture is say, well, then you've got to be gay or you've got to be closeted or you can't be this way. You can't just be, you know, a kind of
just a really
soft
good person.
Version
yeah. It's
of
easier
a
to
man.
Believe that you're gay. It's not that yeah. you're just kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same reason people were saying, oh, he's got to be a sniper, you know, with well, cover with tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. That's the funny thing. You're kind of keeping your fingers crossed. Like, yes. please don't have some skeleton come out. Like, we don't need another fallen hero. But you do show this side of him that is very human. He wasn't perfect. And he did at one point tell, I'm forgetting his name
Francois.
Now. Yeah, yeah. To maybe you should stay in the closet so you can keep your job.
Right.
And you know, he didn't always make the best decisions. He was also flawed. And that's important to note, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that Joanne Rogers, Mrs. Rogers, said to me before we started making the film, she said, don't make Fred into a saint.
Hmm.
And I think that was so wise of her. And what I think she meant was if you sanctify somebody like Fred Rogers, then it's saying that he didn't have to work for it and that we don't have to try and live up. You know, that somehow saints exist on another plane and, oh, he was just great and people like that will take care of things. But if you realize that he struggled with things, that he had to work at things, that it means that we all have to do those things too, you know? And I think it's also, it shows that he's dimensional. You know, saints tend to be two-dimensional and I think Fred was very much a three-dimensional person. So I think he evolved over time in a big way. And I understand, you know, he's at the kind of nexus of, you know, the times, his own history, children's media, funders. Like, it's a complicated arena. But I think ultimately he ended up on the right side of pretty much every issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even go into it much in the film, but he was, you know, he was a vegan. He was a environmentalist.
Wow. I was going to ask you, what did you find out about him that was surprising for you? I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of things, but if you wanted to speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he was a pacifist. You know, he said he didn't want to eat anything that had a mother. So, I know.
Don't start.
I know.
We
I was
bring tissues.
Sorry. I was ugly crying at the end of your film, and she looked at me. She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
I'm
she said, "No, okay. I'm not okay." Yeah. I'm like, "Okay, I'll leave you alone for a minute." We just sat there, watched the credits, calm down.
It's well, it takes you back to your childhood, of course. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers at my babysitter's house. Mm-hmm. I remember 4 o'clock. Sorry, I'm thinking about ugly crying.
it's the timing of it. It just
yeah, that's
really
what I want to talk about.
Close to home.
Purposeful in terms of what we're going through now. Your
well,
timing. I mean, things fall into your lap.
I started the film, you know, a couple of years ago.
Right.
But I think the issues we're talking about also existed 2 years ago. If anything, I feel like the moment we're in is just a much more acute version of a de-evolution of our culture that's been going on for a long, long time. Right. So mm-hmm. me responding, essentially responding to listening to Fred give, you know, as I was thinking about making the film and watching videos and reading about him, and I was like, this guy is amazing. Kind of, I so didn't understand the depth of what he was doing mm-hmm. as a kid, of course. But now as an adult and as a parent, I'm like, oh, I'm blown away by what he was doing. And so to me, it was a voice that was absent in our culture that I just wanted to bring back a little bit and talk about and use as a way to ask a bunch of questions from an audience and from all of us about you know, how we should treat each other and what kind of community we should have. And mm-hmm. these kinds of issues, like I said at the beginning, which are about kindness and about the kinds of things that they don't get a lot of airtime. So Fred was really, for me, just a way, started as a very personal film. Like, this is a voice I want to spend time with, and this is a kind of voice I don't hear much.
Mm-hmm.
But now, to kind of, when we finish the film, and then now just starting to screen it for people, being like, oh, other people have their own kind of relationship with him too. Mm-hmm. And they're basically all the things we were hoping people would get out of the film, they seem to be getting out of the film, which is great.
Yeah. Did the family, are they proud of the film?
And they're great.
Okay.
Yeah. I flew back to Pittsburgh and sat in Fred's house with Mrs. Rogers.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
I know. And in their living room, I screened the film for her when it was finished.
Oh.
And which was intense.
Yeah.
And
I'm sweating
it,
just thinking about that.
Yeah. I know. At the end of it, she turned and said, Fred would have loved this. Aww. And I just thought, oh, okay. Like, that's the best review I'm ever going to get.
Exactly.
Right. That's it. Yeah. That's all you needed.
That, yeah. And I love that because I love the fact that there was kind of a sense of urgency. Like, we need to tell this story right now because of what's going on in our world. We need to remind people. But it was also a very charmed production from what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Everything, the funding came right away. Yeah. It happened a lot faster than you thought. You had access to all of these old videos from his family. It kind of just ran smoothly as it can.
I know, yeah. People, like, you know, somebody asked me, you know, when we were premiering the film and somebody sent this questionnaire and said, you know, tell us about the most difficult parts of making your film. And I was like, I don't know. Like, the difficult part was the film was like charmed in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And also I felt like even the making of it and the editing, like all of us working on the film, like we were all infected by the Mr. Rogers thing. Like it was like a big kumbaya kind of production.
It had to
like,
have been watching all that footage of him and hearing him speak.
We all got into the gestalt of Mr. Rogers and we were like, it was like, God, that was like the most therapeutic thing I could have done in 2017, you know, was work on this film.
Right.
You know, in fact, it was like my little, you know, place to think about something positive at a time where there didn't feel like there's a lot of positive stuff happening.
Right.
Yeah. Well, even the people of Pittsburgh where he lived and where you filmed, they were even telling you like, don't mess it up. This is an important story, right? You got a little pressure from them.
Absolutely. Because he's one of those few cultural figures left who you feel like transcends so much of what we're going. We've seen so many people who we thought were more elevated figures fall from grace.
Yes.
So, you know, it's so to find out that Fred is not only kind of who he was on camera, but actually was like a better version of who he was on camera in real life, like an even deeper thinking, more profound, more willful version.
He was
of
a
who
warrior.
He
fought for
public TV. Yeah.
For public TV. Yeah. He was just.
And more than anything, what he would always say is like, I'm fighting for children, you know, and that where most people who deal with, you know, most people in children's media are trying to sell sugar and toys.
Yep.
And always have been.
Pushers.
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
He turned down every merchandising deal. He refused to make money off the show.
Wow.
You know, that he didn't want, said, I don't want to be selling stuff to kids I have a relationship with. He saw his relationship with his viewers as truly that. Like, if that's why, at one point he was getting more letters in America than anybody else. And he responded to every single letter he got. So he would spend, it was like a big part of his weekly schedule was just correspondence. And he kept every letter he ever got and every response he sent.
Oh, just
more than a million pieces.
Do they still have that?
They have it all. Yeah. They even published a little book of some of the best letters and his responses,
really?
Is a great book to check out.
What is it called? I want to, I need to look this up. We'll Google it.
You can Google it.
We have, we have computers and iPhones and things.
You know, and like, there's so many good letters in there. And at one point I was going to, I actually had a bunch of kids read letters that had been written to him and we were maybe going to use it in the film. And ultimately we didn't need it, but, but I love the letters. I just love that kind of direct communication.
I was going to ask it because we have to wrap it up, but do you see this project evolving more so than, or more than just the documentary or?
I mean, I would love it to. You know, I feel like, you know, those of us who make documentaries generally do it because we want to entertain people, but also because we want to, in some way, do something positive or informative or, you know. So I feel like Fred Rogers is a great kind of way for us to have a real deep conversation around civility and kindness positive influence at a time where it feels very absent. So we're looking at a lot of different ways we can maybe kind of build campaigns or social outreach. I mean, not to mention education and children's education, which is like an obvious thing to do with the film, but hopefully something more. So, you know, we're kind of at the beginning of this whole thing and hopefully this whole year we can keep pushing it. And, you know, I feel like, yeah, it's just a really good time to be talking about these things.
It's a really good time to be kind.
It's always a good time to be kind.
Right, right.
But especially now.
Yeah, well, you have our full support as Bitch Talk.
Yeah.
Contrary to the name of the podcast.
Yeah, bitch means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, context.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we support this film. We love this film. We miss Mr. Rogers. But thank you so much for being on the show and thank you for making this film.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys.
So that was our interview with Morgan Neville, director of the Mr. Rogers documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor. It was really funny because after Erin and I had watched it, I had been hearing her sobbing for the last 10 minutes of the film. And I teared up at certain points, but it wasn't like a loud sob. So when the credits rolled, I turned to her and I was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "No." This is definitely an emotional film. It's easy to think that everybody's evil and against each other, but there really are beautiful people out there and people with empathy, and we need more of that. So I'm hoping that this documentary not only gives you a little bit of hope, but inspires you to be kinder to people and to be more understanding of people and especially children and their emotions. So thank you very much, Morgan Neville, for your work. If you don't know him, he also directed 20 Feet from Stardom, which he won an Academy Award for, and I'm hoping he's up on the list again this year because this documentary was amazing. Be sure to visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to get in touch with us on social media and to hear past episodes. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast and rate us. Give us a comment. How often are you asked to rate people? We want you to rate us. Let us know what you think. Give us any suggestions. We love hearing from you. Next week will be our first official podcast from the social study event. That's What She Said. It happens the first Monday of every month. It's women only. It's really inspiring. We hope to see you out there. And please be sure to listen. Thanks a lot. Bitch, please.